word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of light. Light that shines in the darkness. The darkness of our world, the darkness of our sin. We thank You for the gift of Jesus, the light of the world, who brings forgiveness, life, and salvation to poor miserable sinners like us. Heavenly Father, as He is the light, and as the light by grace through faith is in us, may the light of Christ shine brightly into this dark world. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hymn 914. Page 203. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If You, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand.
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's Word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Give the King.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings.
The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak it together.
Those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praise of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given: preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with our Alleluia and verse. We stand for the Holy Gospel.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you,
Lord.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now confess the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being alone substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come.
We now continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 395. You may be seated.
is he who has been born King of the Jews. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon, this Epiphany of our Lord, is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the second chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew. Dear friends in Christ, to Herod, a king could mean only one thing, because for him, he could only think in one direction. A king could only mean a rival to his throne, a threat to his power and authority. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He understood Jesus' birth only in terms of earthly power. He could not imagine that a king could be anything else than he was. Power hungry and greedy, ready to take vengeance. And so his legendary jealousy and cruelty, which you heard about in detail on Sunday morning, came to the fore. He sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." He needed to find this child that posed such a threat to his rule. And he planned to deal with him the way he dealt with every other threat to his rule, with a bloody sword. But the wise men were not without their own misconceptions. To the first readers of St. Matthew's Gospel, the appearance of these characters into the midst of the nativity story would have been a bit of a shock. Why are they here? Wise men are not just guys interested in knowledge. But in the ancient world, especially in the context of the Old Testament, the Magi were sorcerers, pagans, magicians, those who used magic to further their ends. They most definitely did not worship the God of the Old Testament. In fact, they were in league with the powers of this world, in league with the powers of Satan. Matthew also shows us that in addition to all that, all of their learning, all of their wisdom didn't help them a whole lot on this journey. Their wisdom could only get them to Jerusalem. It could not take them to the city where the Messiah was born. Their wisdom could not determine the evil intent behind Herod's enticing words. And so they almost unwittingly participate in the murder of the very one they came to worship. Finally, their gifts, while lavish, demonstrate that at least in some sense, they too were viewing Jesus as an earthly king. They, much like Herod, did not quite fully understand this child. And the situation has hardly changed, has it? Many Christian churches, many Christian pastors and leaders have too often portrayed all sorts of Jesuses other than the Jesus of Scripture. Soft and cuddly Jesus, who is our buddy, our friend, but not our Lord, not our Savior. Like the world, we can simply view Jesus as a better than average teacher who has given to us a good guidebook for living the great life. His words are twisted. They are abused. They are used to justify or condemn 1,000 different causes. They're used by people, by politicians, by the media, by Hollywood, all to justify their own ends. He can be used and is used for almost anything. And even in the church, there's this strain running through where he is the example of the victorious life. A life that we can have if we only have a strong enough faith, if we only follow him exactly enough. Into this world of misunderstanding, only God can bring clarity. Only God can bring the truth. Only he can turn misconceptions into understanding and faith. Herod and Jerusalem knew nothing about this child. But God placed a star in the sky, which sent wise men to them with that message. The wise men didn't know where he was. But God used, imagine this, he used sinful, cruel, evil Herod to point the wise men to Jesus. In fact, Herod becomes a conduit of God's word. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. And then when they left Herod, God acted once again to guide the Magi to his son. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Without the work of God, we wallow, we wander in the darkness. Just like Herod, just like the wise men. And why is this? The reason we cannot understand Jesus is the very same reason for which he came. We are blinded by sin. We live in the darkness of sin. The sinful man mind cannot understand God, much less Christ. In fact, the sinful mind is not just confused by God. It is opposed to him. Misunderstanding is only a veil over opposition to the will of God. And so it was into this rebellious world. This world shrouded in darkness and blindness, in misunderstanding, that Jesus Christ was born as king in Bethlehem. Herod was right about one thing. The one born truly was a king. The greatest king who ever would or ever will live. But Herod's imagination could only conceive of a king like him. A king who was politically cunning, clever, and cruel. A king who would destroy all threats to his rule. Now the wise men, on the other hand, they saw a king who was great and powerful, just and benevolent, but still an earthly king. Jesus shatters all of these illusions. The king of heaven and earth was born in the lowly town of Bethlehem, weak and guarded not by the royal guard, but by shepherds. The true king of Israel was not the one sitting haughty on his throne in Jerusalem, but the one sitting on Mary's lap, with Joseph standing beside them in Bethlehem. Christ is made known throughout his life. That's what Epiphany is all about. Revelation, making manifest, shining the light on Jesus. But if we only knew about his life, then we fall into all those old misconceptions, all those old errors. We use Jesus for a thousand different causes. Jesus would simply be a good teacher, one who gives us some good pointers and then sends us out with a high five and a thumbs up. Instead, Christ was ultimately and finally revealed, epiphanied, at the moment of deepest darkness, at the moment when all seemed lost. On the cross, Jesus revealed Himself as the one who was to suffer and to die for the sin of the world. As a Messiah, His deliverance was not just for the nation of Israel. And it did not come through military victory, through the kind of power Herod thought of. Herod needn't have worried about his throne. Jesus had bigger fish to fry. Death, sin, Satan, hell, those were Jesus' targets. And His deliverance from them is for all people. For you, for me, yes, even for people like Herod, even for Gentiles like the wise men. All those trapped in the bondage of sin needed deliverance and salvation. And on the cross, Christ was truly and fully revealed as the one who had come to deliver them. And it is no mistake that at the moment of the cross, it is another Gentile, another pagan, who declares what Herod and the wise men could not determine on their own. Truly, this is the Son of God. As the blood flowed from His wounds that day, they washed away all your sins, all your misconceptions and misunderstandings, all your rebellion against your Creator. On that day, He delivered you, me, and all people. And that victory was sealed with an empty tomb. And Christ took the throne of a king, the throne founded on His blood. It is only through Good Friday and Easter Sunday that we truly understand who this Jesus really is. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped Him. Then opening their treasures, they offered Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The worship of the wise men was genuine, but it was still imperfect. They did not completely understand this child, and who can blame them? Without the cross and the resurrection, understanding Jesus is impossible. And we know ourselves that even with that knowledge, we sometimes fall in that area as well. The wise men are simply a picture of us. They need to have Christ revealed to them. Until Christ is revealed to us, not as a guru or a moral teacher, but as our Savior, we cannot understand Him, and we certainly cannot believe in Him. And so Christ, God works to reveal, to epiphany Jesus to us in the Word, in holy baptism where the scales are washed out of our eyes, and at His Holy Supper. Those are the places where Christ is present for us and for our salvation, to forgive our sins. He is working in those means to shine the light in our darkness, to heal our blindness, to focus our eyes squarely on the cross. Because it is at that moment, the moment of the cross, that He is revealed as our Savior, as the one who died for us. Epiphany, therefore, sits between Christmas and Easter for very good reason. Today we conclude the Christmas story with the message that this child, as St. Paul emphasizes in our epistle lesson, this child is for everyone, regardless of any distinction that we sinful humans come up with. But then, as we travel through this Epiphany season, we see Christ revealed to us as truly God through great manifestations of the Trinity, amazing, miraculous signs, and through His authoritative teaching. But we will only see Him ultimately and finally revealed at the cross as we journey through Lent and arrive at Good Friday. At that moment, the season of Epiphany finds its fulfillment. For this season is a season of God revealing His Son. And God reveals His Son as the Savior of the world. As God incarnate come to deliver you and me. To reveal Him to us in the Word and the Holy Sacrament. Until that day, the day that is surely coming, when we, like the Magi, will see our Lord face to face. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we stand and we bring our petitions before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the prayer of the church.
This past Sunday, we lifted up prayers to our Heavenly Father on behalf of a longtime member of our congregation, Janet Schmeling, whose departure seemed near. We ask that God would grant her a blessed end and a peaceful departure. Just a few hours later, Sunday evening, God answered that prayer. The funeral service for Janet will be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and we keep Alvin and the family in our prayers and pray that the Epiphany, the light of Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, would be theirs and ours. We pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would bless us, that we would be good stewards of the holy and precious Word that You have entrusted to us. Help us to believe it and to proclaim it in its truth and purity. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as You have graciously rescued us from the darkness of sin, death, and despair, we ask You to bless us that we would be Your light shining in a dark place. Heavenly Father, encourage us to let our light shine through faith and through good works of service to our neighbor. Lord, in Your mercy, Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings upon all those who are sick or suffering this day. May they find their ultimate peace in You. Heavenly Father, we also ask for a special measure of Your grace and protection upon Molly Murundi, the sister-in-law of Pastor Murundi, who is currently in labor. Heavenly Father, You are a God of life, and we ask You to bless this family with the gift of life. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the midst of this world, we are reminded of the reality of sin. We are reminded of the consequences of sin. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day, whether that loss be fresh or decades old. We ask for a special measure of Your peace upon Alvin Schmeling and the entire Schmeling family as they mourn the loss of Janet. Heavenly Father, may their comfort be in Jesus, the light of the world, that no darkness, not even the darkness of death, can overcome. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings upon the church and upon all pastors, that they be faithful proclaimers of Your Word. We thank You that You have graciously extended a call to our member, Pastor Mark Schlauman, to serve in Tooele, Utah. Heavenly Father, we ask You to bless him as he makes the transition there and as he is installed as pastor this coming Sunday. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. With the service of the sacrament, page 208 and following. Please stand as you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, O Lord. Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings You so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for Your boundless love shown to us when You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Shout the glory of Your name.
Blessed are
you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in His most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We say.
Thank you. to the Lord.
Depart with peace, and with great joy, the light shines in the darkness.
Body of Christ,
sins are forgiven.
Body of Christ, given free. 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 Body of Christ.
Preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Continuing on with the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. Please stand. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, the last two verses of hymn 395.
Thank you.
at Epiphany or any other time of the year. Thanks be to God. And especially in light of the reason why we as a congregation gather tomorrow morning. What joy to know when life is past, the Lord we love is first and last. Thanks be to God. Again, funeral service for Janet Schmeling tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. We're back on our regular schedule now with our Wednesday evenings, and most of the 7th and 8th graders actually handed in a confirmation essay tonight. Thanks be to God for that. Still have a couple more that we're waiting for, but we'll be able to share the fruits of our labor with the congregation. 7th grade essays will be posted when they're completed. The 8th grade essays will be delivered orally between now and Confirmation Day. And I would ask that we would keep our confirmads in our prayers as they continue their growth and the opportunity to publicly confess the faith that they have been baptized into. On Sunday this week, we will be observing not only the baptism of our Lord, but also Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You'll see the Lutherans for Life display that wasn't set up when you came into church, but is set up now. So you can check that out. And I believe we have an insert in our bulletin tonight for Lutherans for Life as well. Yes, so great Christmas Epiphany theme there, so check that out. We will have Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We should have plenty of time for all of that, and regular schedule now on Sunday as well. Anything else, Pastor? Vicar, anything? Bible study? Miracles? What miracle are we going to look at tonight? Or parable? Parable. Miracle.
Jesus heals someone.
He heals wherever he wants, I guess, so that's good. So, yeah, so if you want to find out who that someone is, come to Bible study tonight. all right. You know, Vicar, at least you made me smile. There we go. All right. Have a great day and Epiphany in the Lord Jesus Christ.